Help us, O God, to be masters of ourselves, that we may become the servants of others. Take our lips and speak through them, our minds and think through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire for Christ's sake. Amen. The American writer David Foster Wallace once told this story. There are these two young fish swimming along, and they happen to meet an older fish swimming the other way, who nods at them and says, "Morning, boys. How's the water?" And the two young fish swim on for a bit, and then eventually one of them looks over at the other and goes, "What the hell is water?" Sometimes we are so immersed in what we are most familiar with that it becomes hard to see otherwise. A fish, always surrounded by water, may not know the wetness of water. For us, this might be the culture we live in, the perspectives we hold or inherit, people we surround ourselves with, plans we fixate on. It is often a reflection of what we know and what is comfortable and familiar. Sometimes we need a surprising revelation or a special encounter that awakens us to a completely new understanding, and we recognize then that we have been stuck. 3 weeks ago at our Sunday school class on creating common good, the writer Rachel Held Evans said something in her video that really shook me up. That these days we no longer see our neighbors as people who live next door to us, but more and more they are people who share our values, our opinions, our politics, and our theology. And we huddle up into these tribes based on these things. This keeps us from hanging out with our real neighbors, and we begin to think the whole world looks like how we see it. For me, this was a moment of reawakening, recognizing that I and we too can live in our own world. This morning's gospel lesson, we read about an encounter between Jesus and a Canaanite woman that shook up the people involved. Their meeting changed not only the woman as Jesus healed her daughter, but it also transformed Jesus and his ministry. So the Canaanites, they are a people that the Israelites displaced when they invaded and took over the land. Canaanites were the outcasts in their own land. So this woman was actually quite bold to approach Jesus to ask for help. Or she might have been very desperate. But even so, Jesus did not give her the time of day. Initially, he did not answer her at all. And even after his disciples urged him to deal with this woman, presumably to get rid of her, Jesus asserted that he was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel, that it is not fair to take the food of the children of Israel and throw it to the dogs, such as the Canaanites. Wow. That Jesus would snub her like this is quite troubling. It is hard to reconcile this Jesus with the Jesus who implores us to love all of our neighbors. So we have to read this passage with Matthew as the gospel writer in mind to make some sense. The Gospel of Matthew is the most Jewish of the four Gospels, and the arc of Matthew's story starts with the mission of Jesus proclaiming good news first to the Israelites. Earlier in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus sent out his disciples and instructed them to go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but only go to the people of Israel. It wasn't until the Israelites fully rejected Jesus later in the gospel that the focus of this mission then broadened to include the Gentiles. So where we are in today's gospel, Jesus was still focusing his mission to the Israelites. So this Canaanite woman was really not on his radar. Yet she persisted and pressed upon Jesus, reminding him that the table was abundant. So abundant that crumbs falling off the table would suffice for a meal, even for the uninvited. The table had enough for all. Just as we read today in Isaiah that all are included in the house of prayer, that the outcasts and the foreigners have full participation in God's kingdom. And just as we sung today in the Psalms, that all people will worship and sing for joy. Even so, Jesus up until this moment was not able to imagine a mission beyond the Israelites. One of the commentators of this passage writes, "As an outsider, this woman grasped what the Jews did not perceive, that the good news belongs to all. She stakes her claim on the mercy and generosity of God and challenges Jesus to move across ethnic and cultural borders, anticipating the wider mission." So when Jesus didn't move toward her, she moved toward him. And Jesus relented. And perhaps he allowed this encounter to transform him and his mission. We know because not only did he recognize this woman's faith and healed her daughter, we eventually would read at the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus' charge to his disciples, "Go and make disciples, not just of the Israelites, but of all nations." There is enough for all. So we remember this Canaanite woman, this outcast, for her great faith that overcame Jesus' cold shoulder, her daring faith that broadened his vision, because on that day, she was more daring than Jesus was. And this encounter shifted his perspective, and it transformed him. And so for us, we find hope that Jesus, even Jesus, was open to seeing things differently. How might we see things differently today? Who might be the outsiders in our lives calling out to us and asking us to let them in? Who might be challenging us to change, to remember the abundance of God and to broaden the reach of our ministry? Are there neighbors in our midst that we ignore because we too often stay with what is comfortable or familiar? Whom might God be calling us to move toward today? And some of us identify with the Canaanite woman, desperate, on the outside looking in, trying to muster up the courage to ask. For this one Canaanite woman who received what she was seeking that day, there likely were many more in need that did not come forward. So my heart aches for those who are unseen, because sometimes one just might be too tired to ask. Jesus credited this woman with great faith. But what if people didn't have to resort to such great faith to be seen? Might we instead be empowered by God's abundance to move towards those who are in need? And this week, for our world, when we consider the terrorist attack in Barcelona or the insidious white supremacy and racism that has been at the forefront of our nation's attention, we see people who are motivated by scarcity, the need to dominate, to fight for supremacy, are founded in fear, in insecurity, a sense that there is never enough. People then entrench themselves in these hateful ideologies. But this week, you might have also read about Daryl Davis, an African-American blues musician and activist who has been engaging the Ku Klux Klan for over 30 years. Daryl's premise has always been, "How can you hate me when you don't even know me?" He is a Christian who has chosen to move toward the KKK, befriending them and engaging them. His friends thought he was crazy and naive. One of the Klansmen he got to know was Roger Kelly, an imperial wizard. They talked, shared meals, got to know each other, and became such good friends that when his daughter was born, Roger asked Daryl to be her godfather. And not long after that, Roger quit the Klan, and he turned over his robe to Daryl. To this day, with this approach, Daryl has received over 20 robes from Klansmen he had befriended, who then left the KKK. Daryl's approach is just one of many ways of confronting injustice and white supremacy. It is one way for us to create what our presiding bishop calls the beloved community in the human family and all of creation. But it doesn't just have to be about racism. Two people can move towards each other to allow for change. Two people can recognize the abundance in relationship. Two people can leave behind what is familiar and comfortable to befriend and to welcome something new. So whom might God be calling us to move toward and encounter in our lives? Whom might God be calling us to let in our lives this week? May our God of abundance move us towards healing, towards something new. Amen.